Good evening. Good to see all of you here tonight. I don't know if you were looking forward to it like I am, but tonight is another fellowship opportunity for us. We have our holiday party, a lot of food, and there's always a lot of food at Florence Boulevard. I don't know what this is about this church, but we do food in the right way, and I appreciate you for that. I changed my tie today. I got one tonight. It's kind of a Christmassy type tie. It's got a little reindeer at the bottom. It's not Rudolph because he's got a brown nose instead of a red nose, but at least it's in the spirit. And I wanted to tell you that I don't always wear these kind of ties, and here's the reason why. When I was in another place, and one of the elders' wives bought me a tie, and it was a Christmas tie, and it had a little thing down at the bottom, and you press it, and it played jingle bells. She got offended because I never wore it to church. I was scared to wear it to church. And so I wore that tie for her just to make sure that she could be happy with me, because you always want to make everybody happy with you. And so I was so paranoid for the whole service. Made it through the whole service, and the thing never went off, and I thought, oh, this is so good. I've done it. And we stood up for the closing prayer. I put my hands together like this and came down. And it hit that, and it's jingle bells, jingle bells. And so I grabbed that. I grabbed that as best I could to cover it up. I thought I was going to die because here we are, we're live on the radio, and here we are playing jingle bells in the back. So I don't wear very many of these ties, but I'm glad you're here tonight. Now, I used that phrase, I thought I was going to die. And I want to just not to be morbid with you or anything, but I just want to bring this to our attention. We're all going to die. Someday we're all going to die. Every day that we've lived on this earth, we've lived because it's a gift from God. God's given us the ability to live and to make mistakes and to make up for those mistakes and to live right for Him. This morning I talked about how we need to follow in the steps of Jesus. In His steps we should live. And as Christians, we don't often enough examine ourselves to say, am I the kind of person that God wants me to be? Am I in the place right now in my life, maturity on a spiritual scale, where I should be? If you've been a Christian for 20 years or 50 years or 20 months, are you where you should be, where you can be a servant to God? Because it's not just about you and your understanding of the Bible. It's not just about us as we listen to a word and we say, hey, I never knew that. I learned something new. Let's get beyond that. It's about us applying what God gives us. It's about us being teachers as well as students. It's about us living every day for Christ, because one day we're all going to die. I hope it's not soon for any one of us. But if it is, I hope that we're all ready, that we're ready to meet God. Now, here on the board, I've got a Holy Bible, and it's dusty, and it's got Read Me written into the dust there. We're going to look very briefly tonight at a few situations in the Bible where people left God out. And it's easy to do. It's easy to leave God out. I love football. I love Friday night football in high school. I love the fact that we could get together and everybody would congregate and they'd have a prayer before the games would go on. I love that. When we were in Texas, there was a radio program, and it was like, what's the one here? Something and Bubba, right? Rick and Bubba, right? Rick and Bubba's on the radio. Well, this was Big D and Bubba. There was a radio program, like a nationwide radio program. Somehow or another, they got in touch with me, and they said, we want you to record a prayer that will go out over our program for Friday night football. And this will be on the Friday morning program, and this will be a generic prayer for all the teams that are out there. I said, well, how did you find me? I was honored. And so I recorded that prayer. Of course, I listened to it later. Went out over all those stations. I love that. But you know what? They're trying to outlaw prayers before football games. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a football game without a prayer like that. I don't want to see another element of life where God is taken out of the equation. I want to see God in what we do. I want to be reminded, not that I want a Bible in front of everything that we do, but I want God and God's people to be able to be visible. I don't want us to leave God out. There's a phrase here that I've got here on this opening slide. I love this. God and the soldier we adore. In times of danger, not before, the trouble passed and all things righted, God is forgot, and the soldier slighted. Boy, we really need that protection when we feel the enemy breathing down our necks. We're really happy to have that, but once peace comes again and war is over, we forget about how important it is to have a military that's ready. And I thank God that we do have a strong military. It's probably not as strong as it should be, but I thank God that we have the resources that we do to protect our freedoms. But when we think about leaving God out of the equation in our lives, we need to think about what happens when we do leave Him out. a friend of mine several years ago, we were talking about an issue that he was confronted in a church situation. And lots of issues were going on with the church, and this friend of mine went into an elders' meeting. They were going to go through and look at some of the issues that were there, and they began just business-like, and he raised his hand. He says, "Do you mind if we have a prayer before we get started?" And one of the elders in that group stood up spoke up and said, "We don't have time for a prayer today. Look at this agenda. We have so much time, so many things to cover." And I've always been struck by that, by what this friend went through with that. Anybody can be in that situation where we tend to leave God out. So let's not leave God out. Let's turn over to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We've got three passages that we're going to look at tonight. The first one is Genesis chapter 6, rather. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to scoot down here to verse 5 here. You can read from verse 1 for the story, but this is about getting ready for the flood. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord." When I think about Noah and the situation there, it had to be very disconcerting. For 120 years, he preaches about God. For 120 years, he's working on this great vessel to take all of the animals and eventually just his family over to safety. And here's Noah preaching and proclaiming about God's righteousness and the things that are there, and yet nobody's wanting to listen to him. They've left God out of their lives. And, of course, they lost their lives because of that. I wonder how soon it is for any of us to leave God out of our lives in that same setting. Let's go on to this next passage as well. This is in the Old Testament book of Numbers. If you go over to Numbers chapter 13, you'll find here the story of the 10 spies that left God out. We talked about this just recently. These 10 spies left God out. You can read who those 10 spies are, verses 4 down through verse 15. I don't recommend at all that you learn those names or commit them to memory. The only ones that you really need to know are Joshua and Caleb. But in this setting here, let's begin in verse 25. "These 12 had returned from their spying out the land for 40 days. Remember what the charge was for them. We want you to go in this land of promise. And what had God already done for the children of Israel? God had sent Moses in, who had already said, 'I've got all these problems. God, I can't be your spokesperson. I don't have good speech.' And so he said, 'All right, I'll send Aaron to be your spokesperson.' Moses had all these different excuses, and yet God answered every excuse with an answer. So Moses goes in, and he goes into Pharaoh. He says, 'Let my people go.' And Pharaoh says, 'I'm not going to do it.' A series of 10 plagues there then are thrust upon the people of Egypt, so that finally Pharaoh relents, and he lets the people go. Now, if it's not enough that you have those 10 plagues, also, as they're escaping now, they're trapped by the Red Sea. Moses is able, not Charlton Heston, but Moses is able to part the waters. They go through on dry land. When Pharaoh and his army goes through, then the water comes back and drowns them. This is what God has done for his people, and this is how short-minded they are. They've forgotten about that. Now they're out for the land of promise. They're ready to march straight through. Forget the 40 years in the wilderness. Forget all the manna that's going to be there and all the other things that God's going to do. God is going to deliver you straight into the land of promise. All you have to do, each of you 12 tribes, you have one representative. And you go into this land to see if what God says is true, and you come back and make a report." Now that's where we are. They've gone out into the land and they spied it out for 40 days. Now let's pick back up in verse 26. "Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruits of the land. And then they told them and said, 'We went into the land where you said, sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and that this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The citizens are cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it.'" Now I want you to see the contrast here, because what's happening? These 10 spies, they go in and they see exactly what Moses said they would find. God is going to deliver us. God has all these blessings and promises there. God has this land ready for us. They go in, but they have a lack of faith. They're leaving God out is what they're doing. They're looking around at all these other people, and they're strong, and the cities are fortified. And they're like, you know, I don't know that we can overtake this. Here's the problem with that. It's not about us. It's about being with God. God has said, we're going to deliver this land into your hands. All you have to do is trust God and go and do. God will make these things happen. But no, they're not looking to do that. So in fact, as Joshua or Caleb is standing up to say, let us go over it once and do this, and the others aren't going to listen to it. But the men who have gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There were the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. They had a lack of faith. They didn't believe that God's word would come true. Now I want to challenge you and ask the question, are there times that we think that God's word will not come true in our life? I want to answer that by saying, yes, there are times in our life that we think that God's ways and God's word will not come true in our life. Why else do we choose to do something other than what God says for us to do? All of those basics that we've been talking about the golden rule and praying for your enemies and treating others in the way that we all want to be treated and according to what God says, these are all parts of God's plan to get you to the promises that he gives us. And yet continually, Christians throughout the world and even here in Florence, we make decisions and do things that don't always go in accordance with God's will. What we're doing is we're leaving God out of the equation. It's like my friend with his elders, where the elder said, we don't have time for a prayer tonight. Look at this agenda. We've got all this work that has to be covered. God needs to help us if we leave God out. We need to have this ability of having God come in back into our lives to help us in these settings. Well, let's look at our other passage, and this comes from Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, this rich farmer. I tell you what, he's got it going. And as you've no doubt heard these sermons on this passage from time to time, I want you in this setting to look at all the personal pronouns that he mentions about himself. Verse 16 now, Jesus speaking, says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for your many years. Take your ease, eat and drink, and be merry. Now, by my count, you're going to have about 13 different references, personal pronouns there. Who's he focused on? He's focused on himself. Hey, look, isn't this great? I put these seeds out in the ground, and I get this bumper crop going back. That's wonderful. That's great. Listen, there are blessings that we have in our lives all the time. We contribute to them, but God does also. Praise God from whom what? All blessings flow. All blessings flow from God. And so this rich farmer, he leaves God out. Leaves God out of the equation. We don't know a lot of background about it, but the gist of this is it goes on. But God says to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? And so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, we've got to make sure that we're with God, that we've got these things covered. We've got to make sure that these things are going to be in our life. I'm going to go ahead and turn this off and just stay with this for now. I think it's cutting out. All right. So what is this? How does this apply to us? What do we do with this? How do people leave God out today? Well, I don't think that we're leaving God out in every way in our lives today. But there are opportunities for us. I mean, when we look around and at a restaurant, for example, when it's uncommon to see someone praying for their food before they begin, then that's something maybe is a sign that we're starting to let culture affect us. When we read these stories about how precious it is to see someone like the good old days when they hold hands over the table and they say a prayer before they eat their food. Listen, as Christians, we ought to be seen not just for our prayers that we do in public like that, But we ought to be seen for other things that we do. When we stand up for what is right. When we don't allow wrong to continue before we intervene. When we stop and say to someone who's about to say something bad to us, rumor or gossip or backbiting or whatever, and when we stand up and say, friend, I love you, please, please, I beg of you, don't say another word. Don't go down this route. Don't do these things that are going to be harmful to other people. Go and resolve that with that person. Don't tell it to others. We can be seen as Christians in these things. We can leave God out today in many ways. We plan for our child's education, but sometimes we don't plan for their spiritual education. I used to tease with people years ago. They said, boy, you better start saving for college, you know, for your two boys. And I said, I've got to start saving for car insurance first, you know, before that. I don't know if you know how much car insurance is for twin 16-year-old boys, but it's pretty expensive. And then I found out, you know, college is even more expensive. But we think about that. We plan for our children's education. Do we plan for their spiritual education? You know, the Bible school programs that we have, and we have a good program here, we could always do better. All churches can always improve on that. But the Bible school structure that we have only dates back to about 1796. Robert Raikes was the one who really formally introduced this concept of Sunday school or some organized activity on Sunday. He began by seeing some young children that were out and about, and of course they didn't have the same structures that we do as far as the work weeks. But on Sundays they were running about, and he decided to create a school where they could use the Bible to help teach them certain basic skills of reading and understanding and also learn more about the Word of God. Later on, some other churches began to take that and adapt that. That was 1796. It wasn't until the late 1800s that the Bible school program, as we know it today, really began in the Restoration churches. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the Bible school program in the Churches of Christ really became a divisive element. And around the late 1800s, around to 1904 to 1906 or such, there was a great controversy over whether or not it was scriptural for us to have Bible classes. Now, to us, that's foreign. But what they were doing, they were looking at this and arguing over this and looking at the merits. And the one that really won out in this was the side that says, look, it's not specifically listed in the Bible, but this is an expedient time for us to have age-appropriate lessons where we can discuss the Bible and the application, and we're all here together. But there's still a small element of the Churches of Christ that are known as non-class churches or congregations, about 530 or so of those congregations that believe that it's unbiblical, not right for us to have organized Bible classes outside of the time of our worship. Now, why do I mention that? I mention that because something happens when we take our children to the public schools or to Mars Hill or to wherever else our children go. We expect that those teachers are going to teach them how to read and write and do arithmetic and all the other things. If they don't know where Russia is on the map, we blame the teacher. But also, parents, I think over the course of time, and this is a recent part of our history, we've brought our children to Bible classes, and we've expected the church to be their sole source of knowledge of the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that moms and dads are supposed to be able to open their Bibles and to teach their children. The Bible teaches, you go all the way back to Deuteronomy. Moses is talking to the children of Israel here. He's telling those parents, you have the responsibility. You teach your children. You keep that Word of God right there in front. You have it on your doorpost. You have it as frontlets in your eyes. You do these things. You teach those children what they should know. Parents, we've left God out at times when we've abdicated responsibility of teaching spiritual things to our children, and instead we've put it on the church to do those things. We can leave God out if we're not careful. We can also leave God out sometimes when we plan for our retirement but not for our eternity. And we can also see that we leave God out if we don't seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, part of the Great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking there, and he tells us not to worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear or these other things. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things shall be given to you. And yet sometimes we wonder why God hasn't blessed us as much as we think he should. Sometimes it's because we've left God out. Where is God in our life? How many times a day are you talking with God? I want you just for a moment, I'm going to give you permission to close your eyes. Okay, just for a moment, everybody close your eyes and just think. Back in your mind for today, how many times have I talked to God today? And then I want you to think about how many times you've listened to God today through the Bible. Now, the answers today are going to be far different from what they're going to be tomorrow or yesterday. Because today, it's expected that we're opening the Bible and we're listening and we're talking to God through prayer. Don't leave God out in your life. Also, to forsake the meeting of ourselves together, that passage in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but to encourage one another. And I like to look at the positives of that passage rather than the negatives. And then to be a worker that's not ashamed, approved of God. Why? Because we've been working, studying, applying ourselves to the Word of God, to be approved of God. I beg of us not to leave God out. God does want us to live a good life, to be full of joy. And I believe that with all my heart. This morning I talked about a passage from Matthew chapter 16. What does it profit if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And I want you to consider that. I want you to consider what it means that we might forfeit all of the goodness that God has planned for us. That rich farmer, you see, I look at him and I look at us when I read that passage. And I look at all of his successes and I think how often we look at us and we take all the credit and all the glory for things. Oh, you know, we had great numbers today. We had this today. We had that today. And we look at our lives and I want us to be the type of people that can instead say, look at what God has blessed us with. I don't want us to leave God out in our lives. I want us to know that we have a lot to on the line with our lives. Don't leave God out. Years ago, Jim Jones, who was a pastor in the Disciples of Christ, many people don't realize that, but Jim Jones of Guyana infamy had taken his church from California and had planted a commune down there in Jonestown, Guyana, South America. I've been to Guyana twice. I've not been out into the jungle part. There are people that have. Jamie Cox, who's the librarian over here at Heritage Christian, I've known her for several years. Her parents were up in Lewisburg, Tennessee. They would go down twice a year, and they would go into the jungle, and they would do missionary work there. Wonderful, wonderful work that they did. But Jim Jones became the spiritual leader for that group, brainwashed them for a large degree. You remember the setting because the phrase, don't drink the Kool-Aid or whatever comes out of that. Well, it was actually, you know, some drink aid or something, not Kool-Aid as the brand. But they poisoned all themselves, and they'd shot a congressman, and all kinds of things were going on. He was really deluded in his mind. But he became their spiritual leader. I'm told that when they went through all the carnage, and there were maybe 900 people or so that took their lives or their lives were taken from them in that setting. I'm told that when they went through that encampment, the one thing that they did not find anywhere was a copy of the Bible. This is a religious commune. Do you think it's possible to leave God out of our lives? I believe it's entirely possible. It starts with little steps, and it can creep up on us before we realize it. I want and wish and hope and pray for each one of us to examine our life before God and to beg and plead that we can be the type of people that always keeps God in our lives. Because every day is a gift from God, and I don't want us ever to leave God out of our lives. We have a song of encouragement that's been selected for this evening. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, if like the ones who came this morning, you'd like to come and request prayers, we can do that privately with you after services. We can do it publicly now as a church family. We can surround you with love as we did this morning. And if you're here this morning and not yet a New Testament Christian, I want to encourage you to study. Come and study with us and let's examine and see what God says about being a child of God. You will never regret the decision to add God into your life. You will always regret the decision to leave God out. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?